From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
In other words, when situations happen, you ponder it. And some, it can be 3 seconds. I know what to do. You make a wise judgment. You move to obedience. And each time you choose God's way over my way, no, I know the way I used to do it, now I'm not going to do it. Each time I make a decision to do it God's way rather than my way, I become a little more like Him. I step a little more away from the old me and more into the new me. I'm being changed from glory to glory into His image.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Today, part two of a message we began yesterday entitled Words in Judgment. We learned yesterday the importance of looking into our own hearts before we begin passing judgment on others. In a moment, the conclusion of the message, Words in Judgment. But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship.
Jesus, you are mine.
Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Words in Judgment.
I use certain things to help me memorize certain things. And Proverbs 20, 22, and 24, like in couplets 20, 22, and 24, it says, do not associate with three different things. The first, it says, Proverbs 20, do not associate with a person given to gossip. Proverbs 22, don't associate with a person given to anger. It means judge these things before you get involved with it. If you don't have a discernment or a judging that starts with you so that you can see things clearly, if you misuse that gift and start judging others, you miss wisdom on the inside and it's destructive. So is it a gift? Absolutely. It's not something we say, don't judge ever. Then you become susceptible to every, gullible to every crazy idea that comes down the pike. But you use it correctly, and it says don't associate with those given to gossip. You have to be able to discern that. Don't associate with those given to anger, lest you become like them. Huh? Yeah, bad company corrupts good morals. And then Proverbs 24, don't associate with those given to change or those who waffle back and forth. Yeah, God, no, not God. Well, this, they're chameleons to whatever background they're in. Don't associate with them. You're going to become like it, like that person. Proverbs 20, 22, 24. Don't associate three things: gossip, anger, and those given to change. And so if you're going to be able to see that, you must have judgment, keen judgment, discernment, so that you can see right from wrong. Now, on the other side of your notes, if you'll turn it over, it looks like Sudoku, but it's not. I want you to see how judgment is to be used and how God wants us to utilize judgment. You see, when things happen, I'm just going to say, here's a certain situation that occurs. All right, this is a situation, an event that takes place in your life right here. Now, when a situation happens, someone says something to you at work, or there is a resistance, or there's a point of anger or temptation, or someone says, hey, let's do this, whatever that situation you're faced with, you have to make a decision about, all right? And you're going to make about 300 decisions a day, of which 10% could be future-altering decisions. What to do with your marriage, what to do with your finances, someone said that, so how am I going to respond to him or her? This is a situation. Now, remember last week, I talked about you need to be someone who takes the time to ponder the situation. That's why you'll see Proverbs 15:28 listed in that first box. It says, the righteous man ponders how he should answer, but out of the mouth of a fool pours just wicked things. So when it happens, the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to, and slow to, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Situation happens. You ponder, okay, what is the best way to deal with this? When you ponder it, what you're doing is you're mixing into this situation that's raw. Bang, it hits you. You mix in faith. You mix in all the things God has taught you in the past years. You mix in past experiences where you now know better, or wisdom pours in. You might pour in some tears. You might pour in some counsel from others, wise counsel. And then you ponder, and then you come to a better judgment or conclusion that is at a higher state than when that situation entered. It's now, you say, okay, I can deal with this. Okay, yeah, that this is better. At first, you were shocked. Now, after having mixed it, pondered it with faith, tears, God's lessons, and now your response is at a much higher level than when that situation began. And so then you make a wise judgment. The book of Proverbs, or rather Hebrews, says the mature man has his senses, Hebrews 5, trained to discern good and evil. So that the situation happens, you ponder it, this is a good way to respond, that's an evil way to respond. I choose good. What? I choose good. What is that? That's a good judgment. And what does that lead to? That leads to the final box, and you can write in there, obedience. Obedience. And that's where 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, it's written there in that box, for God by His Spirit is going to be changing us from glory to glory into His image. In other words, when situations happen, you ponder it. And some, it can be 3 seconds. I know what to do. You make a wise judgment. You move to obedience. And each time you choose God's way over my way. No, I know the way I used to do it. Now I'm not going to do it. He changed it. You're a new person now. He just changed you from glory to glory into His image. Each time I make a decision to do it God's way rather than my way, I become a little more like Him. I step a little more away from the old me and more into the new me. I'm being changed from glory to glory into His image. And there becomes, as John the Baptist said, less of me and more of Him. Well, where does that happen? In making wise judgments. Utilizing the discerning gift that God has given, first on yourself, so that you know how to move to obedience. Now, let me tell you what happens where we can mess it up. In the same situation, it could be a temptation. Where the same situation, instead of pondering it so that you make a wise judgment and you move to obedience, you have someone say, hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. Hey, let's cut some corners. Hey, let's talk about. Hey, and you think it might be an option. Well, some girl says, hey, babe. Hey, big boy. Ooh, so now I consider this. Now, considering something is different from pondering. Considering something means there's an option either way. Pondering something is, I want to find God's way. There's only one way. So I'm trying to find God's way in this. Considering something is, well, yeah, I know God's way, but let me just kind of taste this a little bit here. I'm going to smoke, but I won't inhale, that kind of thing. You know, like, taste it. Just consider it. Consider. Which means it's still an option. The reason judgment is so important is because, watch this, because once you ponder it and you know that it's not God, you make a judgment, and at that point, your mind is set on God, and judgment is, I am not going that way anymore. Amen. The cross before me, the world behind me. You've got to have strong judgment, otherwise you'll waffle. You've got to be a person that has strong judgment, because there's certain things in my past and certain temptations that come my way I say no to, and I move the other way. I better have strong judgment. Otherwise, I'll move into a secondary category called consider this. So, yeah, I know it's not right, but just let me text her again. See, that's exactly how Satan destroyed Eve in the wilderness when God said, don't eat that fruit. Satan came in the form of a serpent and said, did God really say that? Well, yeah, I think so. Well, just look at this. Isn't this beautiful? Don't eat it. Just consider it. Just consider it. Just look at it. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't just the sight of it beautiful? And she thought, oh, yeah. And in fact, if you eat it, it'll make you wise. Think about it. Just think about it. You see, now once you start thinking about it as an option, or you're considering it, you're not pondering it to see what is God and what is not, and then make a quick judgment that cuts off the back way and moves you in advance to obedience. Consideration is like, I just want to wallow in this for a while. I'm not going to inhale, I'm just going to wallow in it for a while. Now, here's a danger. In Hebrews, you'll see that verse 11:15. Here's an interesting verse. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and then it said this, but if we would have been thinking about that past place that we had come out of, we would have opportunity to return. If we would be considering Egypt, all of a sudden you'll be finding, oh, there's an opportunity to return. You see, when you consider something, instead of making a judgment to move away from it that cuts it off and moves you to obedience, if you stay in the land of la-la consideration, the na-na land of thinking about it and considering it as an option, you'll find all kinds of opportunities popping up for you to return, to go that way. You say, where in the world did those opportunities come from? From hell. That's right, because the adversary knows that once you're considering or thinking of it as an option, you're just wallowing in it, he knows now. Just give him some opportunities. And that's why I say to men, a lot of times the only reason we don't sin is because we haven't had the opportunity to yet. So how does the devil get us to those opportunities? Just consider it. Just consider it. So that's why judgment is so powerful, because judgment shuts the door and locks it, throws away the key, and moves this way. Now, we can misuse that and say, I'm going to shut the door on you and you and you and you. No, God's saying, no, that's not what I gave you this powerful gift of judgment for. It's for you, so that you can discern sin and move the other way with accurate keen judgment. But if you move into this consolation bracket of consider, then it moves you this way to this box called sin. James 1 says this, James 1:13 through 15. Let not man say that when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no man. But each one is tempted when he is enticed by his own lusts. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is fully accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So why does God give us this powerful gift of judgment? To use it on each other? No. To pass it on? No. Primarily, it's so that we will not be deceived. And we make a judgment. And I shut the door. I don't mourn over that. Yeah, but what about that thing, that opportunity? Nope. Done. Well, what about that lady or that guy? Nope. Done. Well, you're going to hurt her feelings. Done. I don't give it a funeral. I don't give it another thought. Done. You better have strong judgment or you will waffle in the last days. And see, what the devil wants us to do as Christians, to say, don't judge anything. Get rid of judgment. Don't you dare do that. You just use it correctly, because there's a reason for that. It's called discernment. Now, as you begin to utilize judgment correctly, not incorrectly on others, because that's called blame and judging others, that exonerates you. But if you use it correctly, here's what happens. The first thing, and if you look at number 3 down in the bottom, these are the 3 stages of development in the area of judgment and wisdom. First of all, when you come to Christ, God wakens your spirit so that you can discern things. And the first level of judgment that God gives you in the utilization of this gift is you'll start to understand the difference between, would you write it down, right and wrong. Because you see, before Christ, there's no morals, there's no absolutes. That's why the people in the secular world's like, whatever. It doesn't affect me. So there should be no problem with that. They don't understand right or wrong. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this? And all it is, basically, if it doesn't affect me, it's fine. See, they have no concept of right or wrong. In fact, the scripture says it this way, and they call that person a natural man, or that's a BC kind of person. Let's read what it says in your notes here. Go. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Way on the bottom. Now you're putting it on the bottom, okay? Okay, I know that you ain't reading with me. I'm not dumb. Okay, go to the bottom now. This is, okay. Okay, everybody got it? Okay, try it again. Go. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually appraised. In other words, you've got to have your spirit come alive. So the first one down there, the bottom, B-O-D-T-O-M, write right and wrong. Okay, because we're going to work up. See the arrows? Hint, hint, hint. Okay, so we're going to start at the bottom. So the first stage is right and wrong. Then the next stage is when you got that down and you're not struggling with that's right or that's wrong, you can kind of catch that because you're making wise judgments. Okay, now we're learning to use judgment correctly. Right, this is right, that's wrong. That's right, that's wrong. We get it right. Okay, now, once that happens, you graduate to the next one, and this is the middle one. Do you see where it says Jeremiah 15:19 right above that? Okay, that's 3 inches from the bottom of your page. Would you write down precious and worthless? Jeremiah 15:19 says, first of all, you get it right. You know right and wrong. And then it says, if you'll repent, says the Lord, then before me you shall stand. And if you'll learn to extract that which is precious from that which is worthless, you shall be my spokesman. In other words, you'll start to be an ambassador because you're starting to see things clearly. So what is precious from the worthless? All it is this. It means though you know what's right and wrong, you know that there are certain hills that you're not going to die on, even though it's wrong. There's certain battles that you just don't want to fight. Well, my wife was wrong on that one. I say to the husband, but that's not a battle you want to fight. Because relationship with her is much more important than deciding that you are righter than she is. Who gives a rip if you get a divorce on how right you are? I tell my kids, when you cross the street, you look, even though the little white guy comes on the thing. I said, you still look. Yeah, but that means I can go. Yeah, but if a car is speeding down the road, means you're dead. Isn't that correct? Just because you're right, it doesn't mean you throw judgment out the window. So when you know what's right and wrong, even though you're right, precious from the worthless means I know that that person is incorrect. I know that's not the best thing to do. I know that's a mistake. I know that's wrong, but it's not a hill and I want to die on. It's not a battle I want to wage. It's worthless. Don't do it. There's something far more important. You understand? Now you're growing in wisdom and discernment. And then the top, T-O-P, at the top, then write wise and unwise. It says, for wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering or unwaffling without hypocrisy. Then someone says, you know, his judgments are wise. Something that is a high compliment is not he has no judgment. But that's what the devil wants a church to become. Just don't judge anymore. Don't judge anybody. Is that a high compliment when that person says he is a judge of nothing? And we don't say, ooh, I made it. No. You are a person of wise judgment. So, judgment is a gift. You misuse it because it's selfish. You start judging others before it's time. And God may reveal it to you in a way that'll help you to see, I should have waited. Use it correctly. You'll become more like Jesus. What do you think? Shall we do that? Let's stand together as we conclude. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for teaching us how to be men in wisdom of wise, keen judgment. We don't allow, we won't accept the enemies or the world's voices and the loud decibels that say, stop judging. No, we need to be wise judges. Help us to start with ourselves, not on other people, so that we can see clearly enough to help those around us. Lord, we ask that you would seal this message to our heart as we learn how to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give him a clap offering again? Lord, thank you for your word and your lessons of life.
I'll stand with arms high, Lord.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Words in Judgment by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.